Everybody, huddle up. Live from the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, this is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand, featuring Badgers legend and special guest host Barry Alvarez, with Derek Engler and UW Athletic Hall of Famer Tarek Salah. Here's Alex Gravatt.
I am here with maybe the only three people who could calm my nerves after a 42-10 rout of the Wisconsin Badgers. I'm Alex Gravatt. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 alongside Tarek Salah and Derek Engler. Oh, man, I did it. And, of course, joined by Barry Alvarez, former UW Athletic Director and personal friend of James Patterson. Is that right?
Yes.
How did you become friends with James Patterson?
Oh, wow, his wife is a graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to think, first time they came back. Oh, he was having a book signing, and I'm an avid Patterson reader, and so my wife said, he's having a book signing on a Sunday. This is 25 years ago, downtown, and it had a story that his wife, and she swam here, and really active alum, and so we went there. I think it was 90. We won the first Rose Bowl, and I took him a Rose Bowl shirt and a hat. And his wife spotted us in the crowd, and his mother-in-law was a huge fan, and they're making a big fuss. And I think they came out to the house afterwards, and we've become good friends. We're down to his place and had dinner with them this winter, and they come up here, we get together. Yeah, we are good friends.
Nice. And Tarek, Derek, you guys have also both met Mr. Patterson.
Yeah, we were hangers-on, and
they hosted the foundation.
Mr. Kellner invited us. Yeah, the foundation dinner they hosted at their home. And I never met James Patterson or his wife Sue, and it was surreal just to be with such gracious hosts and avid Badgers fans. I mean,
Derek and I were really timid, right? Just trying to stay out of the way.
Yeah.
And then we went up to say, hey, thank you so much. And they're like, who are you? Blah, blah, blah. And then we knew Coach, we played football. You know,
when they heard we were in the 94 Rose Bowl, she's taking selfies with us. I mean, it was fantastic. And Jim Patterson, he's from upstate New York, so he's a Giants fan. So right away we get in Giants talk. And
just down to earth people.
Down to earth.
They're so kind.
Salt of the earth. Absolutely.
Well, how about it? Speaking of salt, a little bit of salt in the wound this past weekend. 42-10 for our Wisconsin Badgers. And like I said earlier, I need you guys to make me feel a little better about this. I didn't have high hopes for it, but I had kind of bought into the hype. I thought we were going to really hang in there and compete. And Tarek, we were talking before the show. Vegas was pretty close with their line.
No,
but the Badgers did kind of fumble away a few points there.
No doubt. I mean, we had an opportunity to cover, which is kind of terrible. It was like, you know, that's a terrible art. You want to win the game, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're all here for. But they fumbled twice. The defense was a sieve. We couldn't convert on short yardage, goal line, or anything. And they were just totally undisciplined, which created that huge vacuum.
Yeah, you have 3 for 14 on third down conversions, and why was that? Because, you know, I'm not going to question Coach Longo. He has a plan, but it's really hard from a former offensive lineman to watch us, you know, clip off an 11-yard run, and then all of a sudden we're throwing. Where I you could see it. I was down there with my son. I was telling the guys earlier, watching that those D linemen were tired. It was hot. And I'm like, well, we got to pound them again. This is exactly what we got to do. And we threw it, second down and 10. And that happened more and more and more. And you're in fourth and a half a yard or so, and we're in shotgun. That's tough for me to just.
That was hard to see.
I can't comprehend it.
The folks took to Twitter immediately after that play in particular. Coach, what did you see this weekend?
Very disappointed in how we competed.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we could have a competitive game and make it a game, But we didn't compete. I didn't feel like we competed. We made it really easy for Alabama. You know, the first fumble, you know, you're going to have fumbles, but we're moving the ball. We miss an easy field goal. You can't do that. Well, you're playing a top 10 team, top 5 team, whatever they are. You got to play. You got to play at your best. And you can't flop around. You're not playing in a Saturday scrimmage. You got to nail a 42-yard field goal. You can't flip the ball out in their territory, you know, going in early in the game to change the tempo of the game. We made it really – we were very cordial hosts. We did not compete.
Coach, you call it service. We basically service them on defense. Our guys are letting the whole edge, and we talk about contain all the time when we played, and having integrity, gap integrity, you know, and we keeping the ball inside and front, and that we just didn't do consistently, which created a lot of opportunities for them to run the ball down our throat.
Mm-hmm. You know, fumbles, like Coach said, are going to happen. The one thing I will say about the Chez fumble is he had some options. You make a move, he took that guy head on.
Took him head on, let the guy,
you know,
clean shot.
And Bama, they're coached that way. I mean, I saw that forearm coming, I'm like, oh boy. And sure enough, I mean, you can't do that. That's a number 2, 3, 4 team in the country, you know, or maybe number one, who knows. But, you know, I think we could have exposed them. I heard Joe Thomas last week, he did some internal film study. You know, they got some weakness against the run, and I wish we would have stuck to that.
Could have stayed in a game where you just keep pounding, keep pounding it up in there. If you could stay in a game like that,
amen.
But we took ourselves out of it, and we made it easy for them. That's what was different.
I saw some great things from the offensive line, though, on a half glass full look at it. I saw Joe Brunner really do some great things with some combo blocks. You know, there's things that they could build on, but they got to, you know, it's to Coach's point, competing and the mentality has to be there. Like, it's not acceptable.
Yeah, and you know what? As a staff, Tark, and I don't want to sit here and be critical, just beat them up about the game, because we did do a lot of good things. And I'm sure when you go through there, if you break it down, the offensive line did a lot, because we're running the ball. We're slamming it up in there. That means our guys are getting after them. And you're going to come out of there with a lot of, you know, things that you can build on and give some of your players some confidence. In the same respect, you have to show where, in a big game, you can't make the mistakes that you make to allow them to make it easy for them.
Yeah, let's talk about the positives a little bit. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Rose Bowl champions Derek Engler and Tarek Saleh and the former UW athletic head coach and athletic director Barry Alvarez. Now, I saw some good things. I mean, outside of the two fumbles, there were shots that were near misses that the Badgers almost ripped off some scores or huge plays. There were moments where it felt like the scheme was put together well, specifically from the offensive side.
Hey, let's not forget that we lost our starting quarterback in the first 7 snaps, right?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, there is the fact that we actually have depth in that room is a good thing. And I think Braden Locke, I think there's a promising future for him. I really like the fact that he came in there. He didn't really make any mistakes. I mean, we're not pressing it down the field, so to speak. You know, if we're not, then why don't we just line up in a smash mouth? Because that's me.
That's a low lineman talking.
That's right, Coach.
But you know what? I thought he did a good job because he didn't get a lot of reps with the ones. You're getting ready for a top 10 team. He's not getting a lot of reps. So all of a sudden, boom, right off the bat, he's in there and he's playing. And he's in there for the rest of the game. I thought he showed up. You know, yeah, I feel confident in him. I thought he carried himself with a lot of poise. I liked the way he handled himself.
And I think Will Pauling did a good job stepping up and kind of being a good security blanket. There was a lot of movement. The pocket seemed to hold up relatively well, wouldn't you think, Derek?
Yeah, I thought there was a couple times. There was one time I got after Jack Nelson. I was yelling at him. But, you know, they were really good over there, too. So, you know, I mean, That guy probably will be playing on Sundays, as will he. So that you win some, you lose some. But, you know, I thought the offensive line did a pretty good job. In short yardage, it's tough for me and as a former center to understand how you're supposed to reach a nose in a shotgun. I that's really, really tough going.
That was really surprising, and I think you mentioned it right. A lot of those guys are going from Alabama are going to be there on Sunday. They're going. Yeah. It felt a little bit like the Badgers went out and played a pro football team. All of them were huge. All of them were fast in a way that I didn't even feel that way about Ohio State last year.
But we did that. We did that literally. I mean, we played the number two team in the country, and I think nine of those defensive guys went on in the NFL. But you know what? You got to coach your guys up, and you got to have them disciplined, and you got to understand that, like Coach Alvarez said, these mistakes, if you have them, you don't have a chance, and you got to play. Yep. You got
to
play
and
that.
So on game. Defense, we have a lot to learn from, right? There's a lot of learning moments there that you could take and get better. They have athletes at linebacker. I know we're really thin at the D-line, but you know, keeping contained is a simple concept, and we've got to be able to do that. And so hopefully they learn from this, they get better, and I think against some of these other teams they could have success.
All right, before we'll get to the negatives in a little bit, or some, we'll call them learning moments. I think there's a lot to learn from this, and it's a good time to have.
And I don't think it's fair to sit here and try to beat them up. We played a really good team. We did a lot of good things. We made some mistakes. And I think those are some of the things we pointed out. The mistakes we made are things that we normally don't do. You know, a fumble as you're going in. Chaz is going to hang on to that ball. Missing a field goal that kicker's been as solid, you know, up to this point as
he
anyone.
Hit a longer he's been, one before.
Yeah,
yeah
I mean,
right
he,
there.
He yeah. You think he has a lot of confidence. That's money in the bank. Boom. He missed it. In a game like that, that can't happen. Those things can't happen. You know, they're better than you, so you have to squeeze those mistakes down.
Coach, I got to ask you, though. I mean, right before the half, what was it, three plays, 70 yards?
Two plays. Two plays, 71 yards.
That's
hard to.
That was a dagger.
I can't explain that. I'm not going to justify it. And I sure as hell am not going to condone it. But I don't know how that happens. I'm sorry. I blanked that out.
So if that happens to your team going into half, what do you say at halftime as they just milk it? Or they don't milk it. They snap of the fingers. It's over.
Well, they just Tark and I know game. Exactly what Coach would say. None of that can be repeated on the radio, on the air. That would not be good in the locker room. I can tell you that right now.
No. Well, no. Let's just say I would get their attention. and they would know I'm not very happy. And if things don't pick up, this is going to be a really miserable week.
You'd be like, guys, I take football very seriously, and I am offended at how you played, and I would like an improvement out there.
Like an improvement.
All right, this is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about what we can take away and what positives there are moving forward, not just from this game, but moving forward. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5. On as we react to the Badgers 42-10 loss to Alabama, the Crimson Tide. Now the Badgers have a bye week coming up, and I have to know, is this the right time for a bye week, or do you want to get right back after it? Barry, what do you think?
It has to be the right time because it is the time. You had a game this week, I'd say it's perfect, we're coming right back, we can get right back into the groove, but we don't. So you make the best as a coach with whatever the situation is, you make the best of it. So you take this and you can go back and you can break things down. We did a lot of good things in that game, I'm sure. When you break the film down, you find a lot of good stuff and you find a lot of things that you can correct. and you got time to correct them now, and they can regroup. And this is where your coach has got to coach.
So the coach's point, you know, the score to me is not going to be reflective of the film, and you can derive a lot of positives, a lot of good things out of that film. I mean, and watching the guys up front and the offensive line, and you know, you don't have these turnovers. We convert on that third down or that fourth down short yardage. You know, there are so many things where the pendulum of that game could have been a lot different. And so the score really was not reflective, and actually in game, because my son said, "Dad, it's hot. We're going to get our butts kicked," and we left at halftime. So on the way home, I'm listening to LePay. I know. Well, it is what it is.
LePay and our guy Tausch?
Yeah, and Tausch. And they were saying the same thing. So you can look at that, and you can take a lot of good out of that, to Coach's point.
Also, you know, when we won our first Rose Bowl, early on, we didn't play a top five ranked team. We had the luxury of kind of building up to it. Now we played a lot of ranked teams at the end, but we gained momentum. So you can kind of say, "Hey, listen, it's early in the year. We weren't ready yet. We didn't have everything together, and we're going to continue to get better and better and better." And you want to just finish strong, and hopefully we could maybe, you know, be the top tier team that we play at the end, like
exactly.
Oregon.
Exactly. That's something that I'm interested in. This was probably the toughest team on the schedule this year. I can't imagine anyone else coming out. Is it advantageous to get, as Coach Luke Fickell said, your ass kicked, a good old-fashioned ass kicking, to start as opposed to build up to it?
Well, that's a coach's job to make it advantageous.
All right.
That's your job. That's why they call you coach. And you have to make it advantageous. You have to show them you played the number five team or six team in the country. You did these good things against them. And you could do those more often, but you got sloppy here. You didn't take the right step here. You did these little things that allowed them to expose you. And when we clean those up, we can be at that level. It shows you where you are and what you have to do to make it step to the next level.
And so after a tough game like that, Coach, how do you approach the locker room? What is the message? Because we all know that there have been games that dropped big in our time. But after something like this, how do you approach the locker room to get ready for the next one?
Well, you get them out, you know, the next day, the first thing you do, you try to be positive. You can't pat them on the back for anything, but you can show them all the things that you did well. You can't go over there and stroke them. "Oh, we played great," because you didn't play great. You made these many mistakes. You know, we have a grading system for every position. Every person that plays gets graded. The teams get graded. I mean, we do a very good job, or did a good job, of evaluating and allowing the players know to exactly where they were, what they did, what they did wrong, and how they could improve, and what we have to do to get better. And that was Sunday. That's what we had to do on Sunday. And then I would get with the coaches what I saw, even take it even a step further with them, things that they had to do and how they're coaching and what they had to emphasize when we practice.
Some of the staff were a little tougher on grades than
others.
Was it
the O-line? Were you a C student, Derek?
Well, you know, Callahan was, he graded tough. He graded really tough. And to the nth degree, to the point where you took, to Coach's point, the wrong step, which to this day I appreciate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he is one of the best offensive line coaches in the National Football League for a reason. You know, Tarek's coach, I'm sure, was the same way.
Yeah, you don't step underneath yourself. You take a great first step, your hands. And there's so many things to measure, and we measured it well. Today, I don't know what they're measuring or how they're measuring things. They have a little bit more
leeway.
Leeway, yeah, to be able to do different things. I guess if they get penetration, that might be a good thing. But we had so many more things. We were very technical, and we weren't the prettiest athletes in the world, so you had to be disciplined, and that's the way Coach got us there. So,
well, we have watching them play defensively, we had a different philosophy. The way I was taught, it was you're going to contain it. You're going to build a wall on each side. You're going to play. They're going to play. You're going to decide where they're going to run the ball. They're going to run it in the middle. We're going to control the gaps, and we'll do a lot of things in here that can mix and match it. But that's the first thing we're going to do. I see containment lot. I mean, as a defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, if somebody runs outside of our defense, I may be fired before halftime.
What would Lou Holtz do, Coach?
What'd he do?
What would he do?
Hey, where's the defense? Hey, Barry, your ass is fired.
You may not go on the bus, right? They won't take the plane home.
Oh, he's chasing you, man. You're trying to explain why you lost your guy lost containment. He had certain parameters, and you were not. He played for Woody Hayes, or he coached for Woody Hayes. His first job was with Woody Hayes, and Woody was tough on him. And there are certain things that you do not do. You do not break contain, and nobody throws the ball over you. Those two things, you better have those two things taken care of to start with.
I saw a great interview with Lawrence Taylor and Bill Parcells, and LT, this guy's on my ass. He's on my ass constantly. You're losing contain. You're doing this wrong, wrong step, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, Coach, I can't deal with this anymore. You got to get off my ass and let me do what I do. He goes, okay, I'll let you do what you do. But if you mess up, you got to listen to me. And LT says, I didn't hear from him for the next 12 years. We don't have LTs on the Badgers. So,
NFL is very different, too. Yeah. When I went to the NFL and I was asking all these questions. Who's containing? Who's spilling? When the guards pull, either you squeeze the guard or you spill it. And they wouldn't listen to me. They wouldn't give me any direction. Then I just realized you got to play inside out as a middle linebacker. Yeah. So you have to make up for what goes on in front of you. But that's not the way we made it happen. So it's more chaos because you have all these athletes that can go do all these great things. In our system, we understood our limitations. And you understand your limitations, you got to be disciplined. You got to be in the right spot, and that's how
this
we have success.
I don't understand the scheme defensively, whatever's going on. But if you see wide open, I mean, we watched it against South Dakota. I mean, we saw the bird's eye view, Tarik, from the Tarik Salah Terrace.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And I watched it and I'm like, whoa.
The gaps. Alabama did us favors sometimes by not running the ball. And they were like throwing because they have a similar offense. And it was like,
cool. Were we watching the same game? I felt like the Badgers were doing a little bit better against the run. I mean, at least slowing it down. Whereas two passes, 71 yards. I mean, the Badgers couldn't hold a candle to those
Alabama guys. Melrose ran like at will. There was nobody
Their average yards per carry was like 6 yards, I think. I'd have to look at that, but yeah.
They pulled the guard. They seamlessly went into the end zone in the third quarter. Running the ball. I mean, there were so many gaps. They could do whatever they wanted, unfortunately.
All right, that is Tarik Salah alongside Derek Angler. We have Barry Alvarez, former UW athletic director and football head coach. Coming up next, Riley Yauch back in the ESPN Everlight Solar studio has something that he felt was important enough to tell me on our phone call while I was on my way over here. Also, if you drive a white CRV, my apologies. I did not mean to cut you off like that, but we were doing our best. And if you're trying to do your best, you can get more for your pour. The Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company is Madison's original brewing award-winning craft beers for 30 years. And now every Monday through Thursday from 3 until 6 p.m., 20-ounce pints of their flagship beers for only $3. From Crop Circle Wheat to Good Dog IPA, the Old Glory APA, head to one of their locations in Fitchburg, Hilldale, downtown, or come join us on the east side and enjoy a bigger and better happy hour selection. This is the Great Dane.
They were 5.5 yards of rush.
5.5 yards per rush per Derek Angler. This is ESPN Madison's The Great Dane Huddle.
I am a just beginning. The pen's in my hand, ending unplanned. Staring at the blank page before you. Open up the dirty window. Let the sun illuminate the words that you could not.
The Great Dane Huddle continues us. The east side location, Madison. The Great Dane, a great place. We've got food coming in just a moment. But Riley out back at the Everlight Solar Studio for ESPN Madison has been talking to me a little bit, and he's got something to tell me. Riley, how are you doing today?
You know, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm honestly, I'm still very optimistic about Luke Fickell, the Luke Fickell era here at Wisconsin, or even this season. I still think this team could win 8 games this year. I definitely have not written off this Wisconsin Badgers team. However, I just feel like you guys were talking about it earlier, all the missed opportunities, this team shooting themselves in the foot, the fumbles, the penalty on third down that gave up a touchdown against Alabama. This team is not 32 points worse than Alabama. They were right there. A few plays go the other way. They keep it close going into the fourth quarter. Even at halftime, you make that field goal, you're down 14-6, one-score game, lot different locker room, lot different atmosphere. The atmosphere at Camp Randall was insane. If you're able to keep that going throughout the entire game, who knows what could happen getting into the fourth quarter, keeping it close. It's just, yeah, it's painful to see because you can see the flashes of what this team can be. And then, obviously, this is all with Van Dyke going out in the first drive. It just sucks. It just sucks.
Riley, I know this kills Luke because he sees the environment, the atmosphere, the opportunity, what he has here. And I will tell you this. I don't ever remember an 11 a.m. game, and I'm in my bowl seats. I didn't sit down because nobody else did. In the stadium for the first half of the first quarter, nobody sat down. I've never seen that, ever. The student section was almost all full for an 11 a.m. game. Mm-hmm. Never see that. I mean, it was electric. He knows the opportunity Coach Fickell does. There. It's there. It's right at his fingertips.
At a high level, he knows exactly where they're deficient. And he's going to work like heck with his staff to correct what they can do for this year. But then on a bigger level, he knows the dudes – the Jimmys and Joes that he's going to need in order to be successful.
And he knows the backing here. You know, look, we were talking about this before we went on the show, Coach. Nebraska's starving. Coach, and you're an alum. You know
they want to get to a bowl game.
Yeah.
They want to go to a bowl game. Are you kidding me? I said, you have to work hard not to get to a bowl game when you're at Nebraska. That's the way I felt. I mean, it's crazy. And, here we are, all these bowl games straight in a row. And we're, Luke being a young coach here sees the potential. You clean some things up and you take that high-ranked Alabama team, you got them late in the fourth quarter. I mean, you're not, if you watch it, you're not that far away. You can play with them, but you have to teach your guys, you can't make this dumb mistake. You can't make this idiotic little mistake here to give them the ball or do those things. You can't do that. You can't miss a chip shot field goal. You know, you can't turn it over when you're going in. You can't do that against good teams. And every game we're playing from now on, the rest of our league, I look at the Big Ten. There's not much that separates the league. So the teams that make the least mistakes, the teams that don't beat themselves, they're the ones that win. They're the ones that go to the big bowl games.
I like that Riley mentioned that he still likes what's going on here because Jim Rutledge of Rutledge and Hamilton or Jim Matt and Molly now, you guys know him very well. Coach, I don't know how well you're acquainted with him, but he puts out in his Twitter poll, who do you want to be the coach of the Badgers right now? And he did say that he thinks options 1 through 5 are – Luke Fickell. And I think we all agree. But people are clamoring for a change at head coach way too early. And Coach, you went through this as you came in and completely revamped a program.
Time out. Third game in the second year?
Yes.
This is This is utterly preposterous that I've even heard that.
Yeah, I mean,
for, you know, to hear someone even have mentioned that
stupid
is so ridiculous. I wouldn't even give it credibility to answer that. So you can tell Rutledge that. That is absolutely ridiculous.
Amen.
We'll quit. Pass the word.
Yeah, that sums up stop. Everyone on Twitter.
Small minded.
That is. Go back to Don Morton.
Perfect. hey, Coach, you came in and you were able to change the face of the Wisconsin Badgers relatively quickly. Why do you think that it's a little bit different right now compared to what you were doing when you came in?
Well, you cover – that's a broad broad stroke that you gave me there. I came in, it was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Really bad. They hadn't won here in 17 years. They had been to four bowl games in the history of the school. Never won one. Maybe I don't know. Never won one, I don't think.
Yeah,
doesn't make any difference.
Garden State Bowl, maybe? I don't know.
Doesn't make any difference. They hadn't done.
Yeah.
It was really bad. So we started from scratch. So I don't even know what I'm talking about. I mean, just – we're talking about losing a game to a top 10 school, and somebody's panicking. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a team. We've got a program that is one of the top programs in the country consistently over the last 25 years.
This bothers me a lot.
For somebody to even talk like that, anybody that reads what they write or what they're saying or listens to what they're saying, they're ignorant.
And so you're hearing from our coach, and I heard a little bit of that from Coach Fickell today. And to be honest with you, I agree with him because he understands. He knows the mission. He knows what he has and where he can take his team, and that's his job. But I will tell you this. We've been through some tough times in recent years, right? Not what we're traditionally used to. I think, and I believe in what Coach Fickell's mission is, and that is nothing else than to win, Coach. And you know,
you're going to build a program,
right?
You got to win,
right? And you got to win, and he's going to do it in his way. But there's a lot of similarities that I hear. And maybe it's because the same era, because we're the same age, Tarek and I and him. And we played against each other.
Yeah.
I hear a lot of similarities on how he wants to create that, which is fantastic.
And it's a new era with this NIL. It's an ever-changing deal.
Amen.
And he's trying to adapt to it. He understands it. He has a plan. He's got a staff. He's got infrastructure in order for us to be successful. And he sees what he needs to do. He's just going to have to.
Now, I do hear questions about, you know, did he hire the right staff? Well, obviously, the O-line coach last year was not right, fired. I think
– Shows that he will make a decision.
Yep. Amen, coach.
That's strong.
Very strong. 1 year, gone, done. This is – he understands that the University of Wisconsin is built on their offensive line, and this guy didn't get it done. He's out. Okay? That's great. I love that. You got heat on both.
He's done a great job there with the O-line.
Yeah, yeah. The current guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Recovering from
it's better.
It's better.
It's better. I want to see more because that's the standard of where we compete here at the University of Wisconsin in the offensive line. The standard is very high. The OC DC. You know, we gotta keep going, and we'll see. And he might have a tough decision there. I don't know. But, you know.
Well, that's why they call you coach.
Amen.
You got to make those decisions. If you got to make decisions on change, if you think there's a problem that can't be rectified, then you got to make a change. And you better have somebody to go to. So it's not all that easy. It's easier to sit back and change this, change that. Well, not so fast.
Amen.
Not so fast.
Amen.
844-770-3776. That's your way into the show, the talk or the text line. And Dave in Deerfield chimes in with, That won a bowl game in Shreveport, Louisiana, against Kentucky in the 80s. Do you know what he's talking about?
What won a bowl game? Shreveport, that was
the one. That was the one in the.
That was the one bowl.
That's one bowl game they went to.
That was the 84.
Yeah,
84. And what about it?
Right. He just said that's what won. I mean,
they won.
They lost the Garden State Bowl.
Okay, we got it here.
I'm sorry.
It was the Independence Bowl in 1982. Wisconsin defeated the Kansas State Wildcats 14-3.
Right. Congratulations. Yeah. That was a big win.
Hell of a one.
Yeah. Everybody stayed up late that night watching that.
Wisconsin's next bowl win was the Rose Bowl in 1994.
Wow, yeah, we know about that one.
Coach.
We know about that.
You're spot on. Gosh,
we know about that. Well, that was the first. That was Dave McLean's, the one they talked about in Shreveport. That was Dave McLean's bowl.
So the Badgers are going to be, after this loss, an underdog for sure going into UCLA or USC next week. Coach, how do you play into this underdog feeling after a big loss?
First of all, I you don't want to hear what I would say to my team. But I would tell you the way I play into it. I talk about all the things that I think we are our strengths.
Do you believe in the underdog, the underdog team mantra?
Listen, I believe in anything that would give me an edge that I could talk to my team about somebody disrespecting us. I would use this week as a total disrespect, and I want my guys upset. I want them pissed. I want them going into a game. They want to fight, because that's. I want to go into a game like a fist fight.
And you'll see that in practice, Coach. Like we will do full out war.
We didn't care if it was made up or not, and Coach would do his research. But we didn't care. We just want to believe the message, and we always believe the message. And once we did, it was running through walls, and it was in practice. It was the way we went about all the little details.
So here's the thing. And, Derek, that was really a good point. How you practice is how you play. And everybody thinks that what you said just before you leave the locker room before the game fires them up or not.
Yeah, I know.
It's all about how you prepare and what you say to your team and how your team accepts things and how hard you practice them and how hard they prepare during the week is how they're going to play on Saturday.
Some of the best days, Tarek, remember this, were scouting report days, right?
Yep.
The beginning of the week. That set the tone, G-Man, for everything. That absolutely set the tone. Coach would give some good nuggets on how we were disrespected, and then he'd amp the volume up each day until Saturday.
I'll give you two moments. I think Coach could elaborate on this. Sunday talk, the scouting plan, the approach to the week. And the second was a Thursday night conversation with just Coach.
Correct.
And his players.
He kicked his whole staff out, and it would just be him and his players.
Just a travel squad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just a Dwayne riffraff in there. And when he coaches, nobody but the guys are going to the game or going to the hotel to dress and me. And I'd make it very casual and just kind of I just kind of want to shoot the breeze, and I might talk about the atmosphere. Let's say we're going to, like, next game we play is Purdue. I might talk about the funky locker rooms at Purdue and what to expect at Purdue and the hotel. We're out in the country, and you'll hear cows outside your window if you open your window. And have a little fun with it, and then – maybe pick it up a little bit, but I always wanted to leaving a thought in their mind about the game and how hard they'd have to play and how tough it was going to be and what I expected of them.
That is the beauty of a great, great head coach, is he sets the setting, the environment for his players to understand what they're walking into. And you always did. You always did that, Coach. Yeah. You always did that, no matter where we were going. Michigan State, they don't have doors on their stalls. I mean, Iowa, they got a pink locker room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
no,
yeah.
no doors.
No doors in the stall.
That's
so.
Fun watching Coach Huber take a deuce. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. Right? Too much information.
Yeah, well, yeah. Amen.
Yeah, but so no. These, when you,
Riley.
But when you go into halftime, right, you go into halftime and you're in this battle, and Coach will go, I told you we were going to see this. And what are we going to do about it?
Yep.
And then everybody's like, yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
And then it just kind of like tells a story, and it just gives you that extra affirmation that you're doing the right thing. Let's just keep doing the good things and eliminate the bad things.
And that it, coach is Coach Barry Alvarez. This is the Great Dane Huddle with Alex Gravatt, Tarek Salah, and Derek Engler. We'll be right back after this. Great Dane Huddle on the east side. The Great Dane. They've served us some pretty fantastic food. I got the tortellini, which, with Derek, you like to give me crap for getting the tortellini.
Well, usually at a brew pub, you don't get pasta, but, you know, to each their own.
Hey, man.
Our 9-year-olds get pasta.
It's not buttered noodles. This is tortellini. They nailed it. I see you've got your fries. They look great, but I would be remiss if we didn't mention the Packers grinding out a win without Jordan Love. Some random cat named Malik Willis comes in here, what was it, 10 for 12, and that's all you needed from him. What did you guys think of that front offensive front as you ran 32 times with one running back?
I was impressed. I thought the whole scheme they put together, they had a quick game. They played the strengths of Malik. You know, he's just still developing. It was a hell of a game plan.
Quite honestly, because I always watch offensive lines in the league, And I think the NFC North might have three of the top five in Detroit and Green Bay and maybe even a little bit of Minnesota. I don't know yet. I got to do more investigation on Minnesota, but definitely in Detroit and Green Bay, they have two of the top five offensive lines in the league.
I love what I saw at Green Bay. You talk about coaching. That's about knowing who's available, who's not, putting a game plan together to win a game, regardless of who shows up. We're going to win this game. I loved
great
what
I saw.
That's coaching.
That's coaching.
I love to see that.
So the Packers will take on the Tennessee Titans really quick. There's a thing called a petty game ball where they give a ball to a player who beats their old team. Malik Willis used to be a Tennessee Titan. Do you guys think about the revenge game in that situation at all?
No. I mean, they're all professionals. I mean, that's a nomadic football league. I mean, most players are, you know, multiple teams, and no, I mean, I don't.
Yeah, it's all you gotta. And this, you know, he wasn't there that long. He knows the business. He's thrilled to be with the Packers. So he's thanking Tennessee for letting him go, and now having this opportunity, and you know, to beat him is great. But it's not to beat them and to build on the success of the Packers is more important, I think, probably to Malik than it is the revenge on the Tennessee Titans.
Getting that second chance for sure. Did you ever play a player who transferred away, Coach?
No, none that I cared about.
All right. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5.
Amen.